Wonder, just checking if folks can hear me. This is Maggie from City of Vancouver.
Yes,
Maggie,
Maggie.
this
Yes, Maggie, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Mark. I can hear you as well.
Okay, great.
I think it's just the connection with the hearing room that we're not able to hear them.
Sounds good.
How about now? Can you guys hear me online now?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Thank you. All
We can't
right.
hear them.
Yeah, I'm working on that. Okay, how about now? Can someone online please speak?
Yes,
All
Kevin,
right, thank
Tyler.
you.
Okay.
I just don't know how to turn off that annoying noise.
I don't hear any noise.
Yeah, we hear it in here.
Well, can you then, they've already introduced themselves, can you tell us who's there?
I'm also getting an echo.
Someone back there. Oh, turn off your speak, turn off your sound.
That's Jim, yeah.
Okay, now. That should be okay now. Whoops.
I think I got it. Right, can someone online just drop something in the chat to see if we can turn off the pinging noise that we were hearing? That did it. Thank you so much.
Who do we have online?
Okay, online we have Maggie Dirk with the City of Vancouver, Kathleen Otto, County Manager, Kevin McDowell from the Prosecuting Attorney's Office, Kim O'Hara, Mark Hirsig, Railroad Advisory Board, and Nancy Halverson.
Again, welcome all. Now you can start over again for the minutes.
I move that we include Kim O'Hara's complete comments onto the public comment section or attach to her email that she sent today.
I don't know what's appropriate. Is it, can we attach her email?
We can attach her email
to
the record.
That's fine. Anybody have
sure.
any objection to that?
Well, public comment's not about countering what she has to say.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, been seconded. Any other discussion, questions, comments, clarity? Anybody opposed to the minutes as corrected? Okay, the minutes are approved with correction. Okay, I have a written statement to make, and it will be attached to the minutes when it comes out next time. I don't have copies for everybody. I'm just going to clarify some statements that have been made about the Railroad Advisory Board. The railroad's an important and valuable asset for Clark County. It provides a means to develop industry along the railroad tracks, to provide jobs to residents of Clark County and to provide an increased tax base for Clark County to grow and provide important services to all residents of Clark County. The railroad was constructed over 100 years ago in the current location. I do not believe there are any residents along the tracks that purchased their property over 100 years ago. I am truly sorry that the railroad is a nuisance to you, to the current owners along the tracks. John Schaefer and I met 8 or 10 times with members of the Greater Brush Prairie Homeowners Association to gain an understanding of what could be done to mitigate their concerns. Essentially, their solution was to eliminate the railroad and destroy a valuable asset of Clark County. We have tried to be cognizant of those concerns and make adjustments to help mitigate those concerns. Unfortunately, the railroad tracks were in the current location when the property was purchased by the current owners. The owner, controller of a large portion of the property adjacent to or near the tracks in the Brush Prairie area, desires to convert the property to high tax-paying, productive industrial property to provide needed increases in tax for all residents of Clark County and allow to him to relocate his operation to a location with an additional space to expand. The Railroad Advisory has always been cognizant of the effect of the railroad on the residents of Clark County. We have worked toward making the railroad a significant revenue source for Clark County and its residents. Clark County could and should be a more dynamic community and not just a bedroom community to Portland. Signed by me. Yes.
I think that's a wonderful statement. Can you email us copies of that?
It'll be in the minutes.
It'll be in the
minutes. I can email it, but
yeah.
Can you email it to them also?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to post that. I think that's a wonderful statement.
Okay, and I have some commentary on the note that Jeff Cox wrote to Kim. He said all great points in this, and is a theme that carried through the RRB since its inception almost 10 years ago. The RRAB was formed in 1995, which is far more than 10 years ago. It's 30 years ago. The RRB needs to be disbanded and reconstituted in a different mission statement from promote the railroad at all costs, but one of a balanced consideration to the county, public needs, environmental needs, and railroad needs. If you recall, we went through the process of redoing the mission and the statement in the county records and everything within the last 2 years. It was all accepted, approved legally, and brought in front of the county council, who voted on approving it. So it has been approved in the last 2 years, and it includes many of those things. And then it goes on to talk about the fact that we're just a puppet of the operator. And I want to put on the record that I have not spoken to a representative, either the operator or a representative of his, in the last 12 months. So we are not operating under his guidance, and we are not in any way, shape, or form condoning any violations that he is doing in the work that he's doing on the railroad. And that's all I have to say at that point.
Dan, there's a hand raised. You want to hear from, I think it's Mrs. O'Hara.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kim.
Hi. Kim? I just wanted to comment that my intention in sending out my clarification of my comments that were summarized for the minutes were not intended to produce a response like what Jeff Cox did. I am not in contact with Jeff Cox, so my intention was not to stir up a hornet's nest with you, Dan. That was not the intention. We're not trying to go through everything that the Greater Brush Prairie Neighborhood Association went through all those years ago. I wasn't It's not my intention. So I just want to be really clear. I just wanted to make sure that my comments were fully represented rather than just partially represented. I was not intending to relitigate all of that and to bring it up as a discussion to promote anything. I did not know that Jeff Cox was on that response, that reply. It was just a reply to Kevin about the summary. That was all that my intention was. So I'm not trying to stir that up. I just want to be very clear.
Okay. Duly noted.
Okay. Okay. I don't want you mad at me, Dan. I just want to be a part of this. That's all.
Okay. We have nobody. We have no one here from PV. We have no one from PVJR, but no one from BYCX.
No, but Randy sent an email and asked us to read it.
Oh, okay.
So he's got some updates. So he says, hi, all. The recent vandalism on our equipment and trespassing. We have installed locking gates on our depot deck and added no trespassing signs to our equipment. This was based on the recommendations of Clark County Deputy Sheriff Charles Harris. Since this work has been done, we have definitely seen a decrease in trespassing. As previously reported, we had an electrical issue with our Alco S2 engine. The main generator and turbocharger are being removed for rebuild. These items need to be shipped to the East Coast for maintenance. Our steam engine 1472-hour rebuild is paused, waiting for the new FRA steam engine inspector to check previously done work. Virtually all materials are on site. Currently, we are using a privately owned 25-ton locomotive and have reduced our consist to two open cars and a caboose. Okay. The heavyweight coach is stored and is not popular in the summertime. DNR invoked industrial fire precaution level 2 on July 31st. BYCX has started the mandatory fire patrol activity 10 minutes or 1 mile behind the train. Randy uses his speeder and added water tanks for this activity. BYCX and PVJR are working on a possible rail speeder excursion of the entire 33 miles of track, tentatively slated for Monday, September 6th. PVJR has been very generous allowing this activity. Both BYCX and PVJR have approved this activity, and the excursion coordinator is just waiting for Clark County to submit their approval before final scheduling. The hope is this event will get newspaper attention and garner some positive PR for PVJR and BYCX. And finally, unfortunately, our mid-July run weekend, we were hit by train robbers at our Moulton Station area. The passengers enjoyed the shows. The train robbers vowed to return again August 16th and 17th, so be careful if you're in the area. Randy.
All right. Thanks. All right, county activities.
Okay, so as of just very recently, all the activities from the railroad rehabilitation project are complete. And as you know, the bridge repairs are complete. So we have worked through both of those projects, and we're currently looking at how the expenses are shaking out because there's some money left on one of the grants. We worked with the Department of Transportation to extend the grant for another 2-year period so we can make use of all funds still available. So we anticipate putting out another bid later this fall for some additional track work up in the Yakult area. I don't know the extent of that or the exact location yet, but we're looking at what the numbers are going to be and how much we have left to spend up there. And then I've asked the construction manager, his name is Oliver Jim, to come to the next meeting and do a quick walkthrough of those two projects with you guys, just to show you the work that was done, highlight the bridge repairs, and highlight some of the rehab work that we did. So if that's of interest to the Railroad Advisory Board, we can get it scheduled for the next meeting.
It's of interest to me, so I don't know about the rest of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes, sir.
Right now, we're doing bridges to air.
So as soon as I have all the documentation from Oliver on that project, now that we did the painting of the bridge over Highway 99 as well, I'm able to transmit that information to Eric, and everything that's under the south part of the line that he's currently responsible for, that's from Hyacin South, we'll be turning those bridges over to PVGR to manage and maintain moving forward.
Does the county require Eric to have fire insurance on the bridges, or?
I'll have to look at the insurance requirements. I don't know off the top of my head whether that falls under the sort of the commercial general liability portion of the insurance policy or what, but I can look and get back to you guys.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much he, you know, if he has it and how much it's good for.
Are the things that are being done on the bridge and the additional work that we're doing, is that all directed by someone that the county hires to review?
Yes.
You have an outside.
We hired an outside consultant. So the bridge repairs we hired HDR in 2020 to do bridge inspections. They developed a list of priority repairs. Those priority repairs were built into the lease with PVJR as one of the county's responsibilities. And then we had a follow-up bridge inspection done by KPFF, who also looked at the necessary repairs. And then in the meantime, we hired OTAC. OTAC evaluated the bridges independently of those reports and determined what were the necessary repairs that were needed. And that's what we scoped under the grant and then put out to bid. So we made sure that they covered everything that was in that HDR report and then anything that they independently saw as needing to be addressed.
So on a go forward basis, does the county then do all the inspections of the track and everything to decide what repairs and what things are to be done?
Track inspections south of Hyacin would be PVJR's responsibility. North of Hyacin would be BYCX responsibility under the lease agreement. When we have grant funds and we're determining the necessary repairs, we coordinate with both entities, but ultimately we hire an independent contractor or consultant to determine the scope of repairs and then determine what the bid package looks like.
Okay, so is Eric responsible for the repairs on everything going forward?
He is still just responsible for the south line, which is, once we turn over the bridges, it would be everything south of Hyacin. The one exception to that is the public crossings. The county maintains the responsibility to maintain public crossings.
Yeah.
So is there a weight ratings for all of these bridges?
Weight
ratings?
So that we have done some work to do the load rating analysis on the bridges. Part of that, they were doing assuming that the bridge repairs would be completed. So they need to be reevaluated now that the repairs are done on some of the timber trestle bridges, but they did do ratings on everything that they could. Bridges 18 and 20 were in such disrepair that they couldn't do load rating analysis. So we do have load rating on most of them. Yeah. And then there's also a requirement in the lease that we coordinate with PVJR to do a load rating analysis.
Are these documents available for public to look at?
Yes. Yeah.
Has there been any movement on the Eric issues with the county, or is he still in default on the contract?
So we continue to work through dispute resolution with PVJR.
How long has that been going on?
October 2023, I think, is when initially it started, give or take.
But
18 months-ish.
Yeah. And that was supposed
That's supposed to be just a precursor to going to mediation.
Yeah, there's a dispute resolution process that's lined out in the lease.
Okay, but no movement. Yeah.
We're continuing to work on it. And I don't have any other updates at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any new business anybody wants to talk about?
Vandalism is in the... Yeah, I see there was recent vandalism in the reflector. What was that on the PVJ Railroad, where we have it up at Yakult? We've had it. That continues?
I'm not familiar with the article in the reflector. Was that about what happened with the...
Not either.
Yeah.
It's not the one that he was talking about in his report?
I don't think so. I don't...
It's more recent than that? Because he had the vandalism, and they had quite a vandalism that happened.
Right off north part of town, right?
What?
Right off from the town. By the school,
right?
Kids,
is that the one? That's the same one.
Same.
Okay, so that's one that's being taken care of, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Guess we need to talk about the. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Neil, were you gonna talk?
Yeah, about... I'm sorry, I skipped over that. We need to go back to the presentation. One thing I wanted to, that, you know, I lay awake at night thinking of these things up, that I wondered if we were taking any consideration into, and that is that in recent months, primarily since the election, there has been significant activity in the United States about with respect to projects and things going on the economy and things going on in the economy. Are we taking any consideration of that into our evaluation? For instance, if we're going to build more things in the United States, are there going to be plants built to do that? And where are they going to be? And is there property available? And do we have a prime example of property available that we could use that? And how does AI affect all of that? Is that something? Those are all kind of clean things that most people could get behind instead of the smokestack image. And I'm just wondering if we're putting anything into that with respect to that. That's going to affect us certainly for the next 3 years.
I didn't really address anything like that in the proposed, you know, in the presentation at this point in time. I suppose what I'd like to do is make available to everybody by my Google Drive the presentation, so you can make comments and see what you think we should add or take out or whatever. But you know, it's getting pretty sizable at this point in time. So we've got almost 20 slides, but there's actually 66 slides that are just, you know, just in order to make the animation work on it. So, but I could provide a link to everybody, and I'd welcome anybody's comments. So.
Sure. That's great. Jim.
Yeah. Neil shared that with me today before the meeting, and he'd done a beautiful job. The formatting is beautiful. I had a few suggestions for him, and I'm sure other people will have, but it seems to me like it's a tremendous start. We're putting a really good package together talking about the railroad. So I think it would be good for the whole group to have a chance to see what he's already done and then talk about what needs to be added. But I had a few suggestions for him, but on balance, I think it's a wonderful start.
Good. Okay, let's do that, and hopefully everyone will be able to look at it and have comments before the next meeting, and either before, and you can get them incorporated, or at least at the meeting. Absolutely. And then we need to decide at what point we want to do that, and then get on the agenda for the council to give Absolutely. That presentation to the council. Have we selected who the spokesperson is going to be?
Maybe AI? I don't know.
Who?
AI.
AI. What does AI look like?
Anything you want it to look like.
Say, I just wanted to comment on the industrial thing that you'd mentioned just previous to this, was that that the railroad's a common carrier. So whatever industry comes in or whatever, as long as it's packaged appropriately or shipped appropriately, the railroad really doesn't have much choice if it's offered. So honestly, I guess it would be probably either up to the county, whoever provides business licenses or whatever. I mean, that would probably be entirely up to them. But I think it ought to be understood that if an industry did come in, and no matter what it was, if they wanted to ship by rail, and the railroad would be obligated to ship it.
When we started working on the implementation of 5517, the county came out and said, these are the things you won't be allowed to ship. It's crude oil, diesel fuel, pesticides. And then Eric wrote back letters saying exactly what you said, that if somebody wants to get us to ship radioactive material, we got to ship it. So, when you're talking about the presentation, the slides are about maybe half of it. The real thing, and the thing the county missed off on, is you got to be ready for the question, because there's three groups at the meeting. There's the people in favor of the railroad. There's the people that are dead set against it, and the ones that are in the middle that don't, they're trying to make up their mind. And the guys on that side, their job is going to be ask you the questions that you can't answer without making the airport or the railroad look really, really bad.
I just wanted it to be clear that this isn't something the railroad, that the railroad will come out and say, okay, I'm putting a business here and this is what I'm doing. But the railroad, because it is a common carrier, and Eric is right about this, it's a common character, it would be up to some other entity out there that would either bless or not bless the industry. Right. But once the industry's in, if they choose to ship by rail, then they ship by rail. It's just the way it is, and the railroad's obligated to haul it.
But the question is that more dangerous than shipping by road, by truck? Maybe the alternative is you...
Doesn't matter. The thing is, is this stuff going to be coming through our neighborhood?
Well, it's probably going to be coming through one way or another. I mean, it's ridiculous to blame everything on the rail when you've got probably more public exposure to danger with trucking.
Right.
Well, I think the key is that we have the county, and we have to support that, is that we're not going to automatically grant a permit to build or have a plant there that knowingly has certain things going on. And after it starts and they decide they want to ship that, then that's a different issue that somebody's got to have to figure out how to resolve at that point. But we're not knowingly going to permit a company to start doing that. One of those.
My experience with that, mainline BN, I could look out my house and see it in western Iowa. When they built the ethanol plants, the ethanol plants were bringing ethanol in town, loading it, and their car got cut, and there was somebody lost their life. But eventually, you know, the city and the ethanol plant decided that it's too big of a risk to do that. And the railroad, the city, and the plants built a loading facility outside a population area so you wouldn't have a problem. So it's a the three entities, the industry, the city, and the people have to work together to come up with a plan. It's just not one way or the other. That's and it worked out. They built a place. Everybody was happy and business moved on. They didn't have the problem.
Yeah, Neil.
So there's actually two different issues. So the one issue is what you can carry on a train on a common carrier. The other issue is what you can build on the property. The county staff has come up with a railroad industrial area IR classification in the codes, and they've got a whole list of what kinds of businesses can and cannot locate on those properties. And there's certain types of industries, you know, have to be under a conditional use permit that would have to go through a whole set of hearings before they'd ever get approval to do such a thing. So just because you can, have nuclear active waste on a thing, the people that are running businesses, you're not going to have a nuclear reactor on this line.
Yeah, but the question is, I agree with you. If the county says for you to get a permit to build this factory, you know, these are the things you can't do. That's a condition of the permit. What I worry about is Eric. You know, Eric on the rock said, I'm going to crush rock for my railroad and I'm going to sell all my my excess rock on the market. So what if he decides my trains run on diesel fuel? I'm going to put a diesel terminal, and I'm going to bring in diesel, and if I have extra, I'll sell it. And pretty soon he's in the market of selling in fuel, and that's one of the things I think that's prohibited by the county. So and when you're talking about dealing with the community, you know what they want to do is they want to feel comfortable. They know what's going to happen, you know. And I think they're very upset that Eric came in and did all this stuff. And, the county and the state were pretty ineffective. And if he hadn't broken some federal laws, he probably would have skated on the whole thing. So, you know, they may be asking, why do we have all these rules and regulations and they don't apply to the guy that's on the ground? And that's something that we have to address. And I don't have the answer. I have an answer, but it's not a popular one.
Is that something the county attorney has to work with and address? As a railroad advisory board, we're saying that these things shouldn't happen, but the county attorney and the county had regulations.
Those are part of the, it's part of the implementation process, and you have to make as many precautions as you can in that process of saying you're going to permit certain businesses and you're not going to permit certain businesses. And if there are loopholes to get around it, then you got to try to plug those also. That's my only solution. I mean, yeah, there's lots of things. I mean, you could write a contract as tight as you want to, but somebody will find a loophole if they can.
Eric's the best.
The county attorney is online, not the county attorney, but our representative from the deputy prosecuting attorney's office is online. And Kevin would, I'm sure he'd be able to answer your question. Kevin, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Just very briefly. I mean, some of the issues that have been talked about are part of the ongoing process that Mr. Tyler mentioned moments ago. And in terms of new development and the county's permitting process, that's something that would be looked at on a case-by-case basis, obviously in the future. So I can't really speculate on that.
Good question.
Go ahead.
Is the railroad subject to the county laws, rules, and regulations? The railroad operator?
So that is a rather complicated, it sounds like a simple question, but it's actually not a very simple answer and not really something that I'm able to go into at this time. I guess at a 30,000 foot level, I can say that there is a federal law. It's referred to as ICTA. It stands for Interstate Commerce Commission Termination Act. And what ICTA provides is that certain state and local laws are preempted and not enforceable to the extent that they would interfere with interstate rail commerce. Now, the nuance of how that applies and various situations where it may or may not apply, again, is not something I can really go into right now, but there is some laws that are preempted as a result of ICTA.
Maybe yes and maybe no.
You know, I know lawyers like that.
Well, I mean, so again, the question would have to be more narrowly tailored. And again, this isn't really the proper forum for me to be providing legal advice, particularly in light of the fact that the operator and the county are currently engaged in a dispute process. And so it's just not a simple answer. If it were a simple answer, I would give you one, but it's not.
Can you control the businesses, what they have, not the railroad? If the railroad doesn't have to haul it in, then they're not shipping it.
So I don't know if that was a question to me or not. Were you directing your question to me?
I was. Sorry about that. The county can have laws and regulations what can be on that business. If a product is being shipped in there that isn't part of that business, that's a deal with the railroad. But if he's shipping stuff that's agreed to with the county, that's safe, then it shouldn't be a problem. So then it's a railroad issue. Correct?
You know, again, the nuance of that's just not something I'm able to answer in this forum. And it's also you're asking a rather general question that really the devil is in the details. So I'm just not able to affirm your question at this time.
So, Dan, I just want to check on next steps and the next agenda. Are we going to have a presentation of what Neil's come up with for the whole group? Do you want that as an agenda item? And then just as a reminder, we had talked previously about when we think we're ready for council, there it's the same process that we went through before. We call it a 9-step request. That's and I'll write that and get it in front of council for consideration. And then once they approve the work session, then we would schedule the work session. And then you would have the opportunity to present that material to the council.
Not sure we'll be quite there yet by next time, you think?
If I get my comments back early off this month, I could be ready.
Well, yeah, let's do it next time and
okay.
see how far we get. If we get there, we can then start the process.
Okay.
Unless everybody hates what I've done, then we have to go back to the drawing board. But
are you going to send us a link? Is that what you're going to do?
That's correct.
Okay. Are you going to be prepared to answer your question?
No, you're going to be sitting shotgun for me here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we need to do is when we get ready to do it, all of us should work out the toughest question we can think of. So. You know, at the open house the county put on.
I talk pretty loud, but the open house the county put on. I mean, they had beautiful displays. They had like 4 or 5 different stations, people there to answer questions. But then the whole thing fell apart when they got to the question because the guy that was running it hadn't done any
research, you know, questions like, well, will this raise my property taxes? Golly gee, I don't know. Next question. And that's what it was for a ton of things.
No, I do spend a lot of time looking at what the people that are opposed to the railroad have to say. So So I'm familiar with their arguments and all.
Well, I think we all need to review this thing, and we all need to come up with the questions, and we can fire those away at the next session. And if we don't have enough answers, then we got to do more research. But I think we have to look at it and see where it is, and see what kind of things we need to do to embellish it, and how we need to respond to it.
I think it's going to take more than one meeting, because I've already given Neil a few of my comments. When we go around this table, there will probably be dozens of comments, yep. and that all has to be sorted out, and we have to agree on a final package. Yep. So it's not going to be done in one meeting.
No. Well, I'm going to urge all of us to look at it ahead of time and fire our comments back to Neil before the next meeting, so he has a chance to respond to them and be ready to finalize those issues.
The problem is, there will be disagreements on some of the points and whether they should be in the document. So I don't think it's as easy as just throwing everything at him and thinking he can sort it all out, because there's going to be conflicts.
Well, John and I never disagreed on the presentation we gave him.
But I'll give you an example. When with the people you're dealing with, when we were dealing with the Greater Brush Prairie Neighborhood Association, you know, we were kind of pushing the Lagler property. Lagler property is south of Brush Prairie Neighborhood. That meant if the Lagler property got developed, none of the trains for all this industrial development would go through the neighborhood. They'd go up to Lagler, they'd finish their job, then turn around and go back. If we went to a site further north, like, you know, the sites we were looking at, then every single train would have to go through the neighborhood. So they had the opportunity to make sure, you know, the traffic was cut up, except for the couple of trains going to Battleground. And it was no way anything to do with the railroad or against. We want you guys gone.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, they said, even if you do anything, it should be all on property north of there. But they didn't realize the fact that those trains have to come back by down below behind them.
Yeah.
Through the property. They kind of like missed that point.
Microphone.
Yeah. Always been well accepted by the public and everything, you know. And I hate to see that go away.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anything's going to go away. Right? It's, you know, what we're talking about is, you know, what we can expand. I think everything that's established now is established.
Yeah. I got one comment. When you're sending from us group, send something to Neil, make sure everybody gets that same copy so we can all work together. And so it all won't go to Neil. We'll just talk about it, Mark and Jim and everybody else. We'll have a discussion before our next presentation.
If you respond to his email, just respond all, and everybody will get a copy of it.
Ed, don't send it all that's on the mailing list. Just send it to the board members. Otherwise, you're going to have a ton of things.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Okay. Anything else on that? I've seen part of your stuff, Neil, and it was looking great then. So
it looked good.
I'm trusting Jim to have said that the rest of it looks good too. So you're doing far more than I could ever do on there.
Yeah.
You'll get just reward. You'll get at least 3 attaboys.
You can take those to the bank.
All right. Anything else? A new business? Public testimony? Anybody here? Anybody here want
to? Anybody online, if you want to raise your hands? Looks like.
Back here. Any comments?
Kim O'Hara has raised her hand.
Okay, Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
I have a question. You all speak of the tremendous revenue that the train generates. I'm curious, is there an actual dollar figure that it has of the revenue that train specifically, not projected tax whatevers or projected buildings coming in or any of that, just as of August 10th, 2025, what is the dollar figure that train has generated for the county? How much money has it made for the county?
Not very much.
Well, no, that's the question everybody's asked when they get on the board.
Like, well, you know, what are we doing? The money
that's being made in the county is in the jobs and the taxes and the property, getting reappraised for going from agriculture to, industrial. There's all these things that we don't get a line item deal. If the railroad is only providing to the county 10 bucks a load, what are we doing here, right? And that's the question we've always asked the county, and the answer that we've always got is the tax revenue, the employment, those things are what make the railroad worth supporting. And that's why
that's
we're here.
That's an intangible, though. That's an intangible. You don't have because that may or may not happen, correct? You don't know, right? As of right now, the dollar value that it's generating is $10.
Well, it's generating jobs right now.
So what's the number? So that's what I'm asking. What's the number?
Kim,
I'll give you Eric's phone number.
Kim, Eric? I think the point, Kim, is that Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad is a short line railroad, and they do business in Clark County, and they ship so many cars. There's a certain number of cars. When they reach a certain number, that the county receives money for that. But what I think they're talking about is the businesses that use the railroad, they generate a part of the economy in Clark County. And that's what these guys are talking about, is what's the part of the economy that the railroad contributes to, and what happens to the economy when the railroad does more business, I think is what they're sort of getting at here.
That's the down the road sort of projections, but as of right now
they have several customers and they ship about 700-800 cars annually, and so there's revenue generated by that in the form of, but I don't know what that is. I think that's the answer.
It's peanuts. The ability to get revenue per car is peanuts compared to what you can get from creating 100 jobs, 200 jobs, 500 jobs, and what you can get from creating a new business on 10 acres, 50 acres, 100 acres. The tax rate is at least 4 to 5 to 10 times as much on that property than it is in some other use.
And I understood, and those are all projections. That's all a projection.
No, it's not. Right now, look at Omega Industries. They're right on St. John's, just south of 78.
Yes.
Big company, lots of employees. If the railroad wasn't there, the county would lose all those employees and all that revenue that's being, they ship a lot of stuff out of there. They pay sales tax on stuff that they buy. They pay employers tax on the earnings. They pay property tax on the land that they're using. And that's quite a boon for the county that they'd lose if the railroad wasn't there.
Okay, so that's a quantifiable amount then. That's something that currently exists. That was sort of my question. That's something that currently exists and is benefited and benefiting to the railroad. That's what I'm asking.
We have provided lists in the past that shows the number of companies inquiring about property in Clark County that want to bring a business here, and how many people it would bring and everything. And there is a number of those people who want rail-served property. And you have to take that and equate it to how many acres they're going to use and how many employees they're going to do. And that's what you get is the revenue out of that thing. And it's tremendous considering the small footprint and everything that goes on there. And that's what you have to look at. But we've had those inquiries. We don't have the property available for them. It's not there.
So, the result of those inquiries then has been nothing.
Has gone to someplace else because we can't provide the property.
Understood. You have one. You've got the so that answers the question. There is an Omega Industries, and I know that there's the dairy up north that does the plastic jugs that comes back and forth. That one, I know that exists, but I didn't know about the Omega Industries. So
you have Anderson Dairy, and they have their factory to make milk cartons, and we have I don't know what they're called now.
Block Gas.
It used to be Lindy Gas.
Lindy.
Yeah, right there on 78th. It's a huge deal. Lots of cars going through that. You have the transload operations at both. I don't know the two. That's one on 78th and the one up by where the railroad track hits 205.
By Costco.
North of that.
North of Costco.
Barberton is out here.
Barberton
area. Before you get to Barberton.
It's right across Costco, this side of the freeway.
Yeah.
And you also have State Pipe.
State Pipe
has been moving a lot of pipe on the rail.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a glass recycling related to Owens Corning.
There's a Merritt chloride distribution site, which the state uses for dust control on gravel roads. There's a lot of stuff going on.
And are a lot of those businesses south of Barberton? Or north, what would that be? Towards Portland? I mean, Barberton towards Portland, that area.
It's not the Barberton that's having the problem. It's if you go to Costco on 84th Street and you turn right at the signal, instead of turning left into Costco, you turn right. That's a dead end road, and there's a transload shipment area out there. Crutchfield? Okay. Is that the way?
I don't remember. Yeah.
That's where they bring in the grit for roofing
for asphalt shingles. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
But yeah, to answer your question, a lot of the activity is from that point south.
Where there's already a lot of industrial.
But we've had inquiries that we've gotten through the CRDC that have said they've had. Numerous inquiries about companies that want a headquarter here or put a plant here that provides for hundreds of employees. And they take up property, which would increase the value of the property, and they pay taxes, and they have employees who would buy houses and whatever, or take the employees and keep them from going across the bridge.
Yep. The other thing people forget that a rail car takes 3 to 4 semis off the road. So you have less traffic, and traffic only is getting worse up there, not better. So it's not only environmentally friendly by taking trucks off the road, it reduces the number of trucks on the road that causes problems. That people forget that big time.
And remember, there's a cost to that. So I guess that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anything else?
I don't see anybody else online raising their hands. But if you want to say something, just come off mute and let us know. Looks like we're good.
Anything around here? Anything else? Back here? Okay. Hire a movement that we want to adjourn.
Second.
Let's move in a second. Anybody not want to adjourn?
You can stay here.
We're adjourned.
Oh, but you were talking.